Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land Horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is the Red Sox Precap with your hosts, Keaton DeRocher and Shelley Verstrate. Part of the Over the Monster Podcast Network.
Welcome back to the Red Sox Precap, the podcast from the Over the Monster Podcast Network, where we recap the series that just ended, preview the series that's about to start. I am your host, Keaton DeRocher. With me, as always, Shelley Verstrate of OTM. Shelley, I believe we were just talking off air. I wasn't feeling great about... I mean, the Red Sox won the series, took 2 out of 3, but I wasn't feeling great until we just noticed that they still have the best record in all of baseball.
yeah. I was like, so when you said that, I'm like, wait, what? So I like was like pulling up my MLB app on my phone, and yeah, you're totally right. We still have the best record, which totally just blew my mind, because I'm not feeling that great about the team, but it's like,
okay, right.
Yeah.
And we will dive into this 3-game series against Detroit and what a doozy of a series that was. But first, presenting sponsor of this podcast is Fifth Element. Fifth Element is ultra high milligram CBD focused on relief and recovery after a workout. They're specially designed for people with an active lifestyle, from weekend warriors to professional athletes to bucket list gym enthusiasts. Fifth Element, also known as 5E, is full spectrum high milligram hemp to help you whenever, wherever you need it, whether it's at the gym or after work. Get yours today, feel better tomorrow, by visiting 5ehemp.com. Use the code MONSTER to get 50% off. Yes, you heard that right. 50%, a.k.a. half off. That's 5ehemp.com. Use the code MONSTER. Go to 5ehemp.com. Get 50% off. That's the number 5, the letter ehemp.com. All right. Diving into it. So this was not an easy series like we were hoping, but at least the Red Sox did win it. So that's fun. Game 1, Nick Pivetta, Michael Fulmer. Red Sox get the win 11-7. Pivetta picked up another 8 strikeouts, which was nice to see. Only 2 walks, but gave up 3 runs in his 5 innings. What was your reaction to Pivetta's start here?
My reaction was just like, yeah, I kind of expected this sort of kind of... Like, I still don't necessarily believe in Pivetta and what he is doing. But, I mean, I expected him to, you know, just really just, you know, just... mow down, you know, some Detroit Tigers. Because I do believe that he's better than the Tigers lineup. So, yeah, I liked what I saw. I need to see him against, like, better competition before I really either believe in him or what. Like, he's still just kind of a question mark for me.
Yeah. Red Sox jumped out to a nice big lead here. Jumped out to a big lead. And then Austin Bryce didn't have a great day. Went a third of an inning and gave up 4 earned runs. That made it a lot closer. I believe that made it 9-7 before the Red Sox tacked on 2 more to finish it. But it seemed like just the vibe of the game, it felt like it was the Tigers were going to claw themselves all the way back, which was a little scary. But Andrés followed with 2/3 of an inning to get out of the jam with 2 strikeouts. Ottavino, 2 strikeouts, 1 walk. Darwinson Hernandez, 1/3 of an inning, 2 walks. That was a bit of a struggle. And then Matt Barnes on for the save, a 5-out save, 1 strikeout. But he got it done for a 7 save of the year. What did you think of the bullpen's performance following that up? I guess let's talk about Bryce. Bryce and Taylor, not strong starts here, still struggling now. Both of them have ERAs close to 8. When do you think we're going to see some changes to the roster here? Maybe Edward Bizardo, or maybe use one of their roster spots for a bench bat?
Yeah, I really do think that we're going to see a roster change here at some point. I mean, Taylor and Bryce have just really not been great. I would love to see Bizardo, because I really do think that he could be really electric out of the pen. But honestly, I do think that we need more of the bench bat more than the, kind of like back-end bullpen piece. But I do think that there's going to be a change at some point, because Taylor and Bryce, like, they've just been, they've just not been great to start the season.
Agreed. And I agree with you on the bat, too. And I feel like I initially thought Santana seemed like the most obvious fit, because I believe he has an opt-out after some amount of time if he's not in the majors. But I don't know how that works if he's on a rehab assignment, because if he's rehabbing, I don't think he can force his way to the majors with an opt-out. So I don't know how that works. So maybe that doesn't make sense. But I guess we'll see in the coming days. I think I agree with you. I've seen enough of both these guys. Let's get Bizardo at least up here and something else. For the bats, Verdugo hit himself a home run. Bogarts, Renfroe, Kike Hernandez. Lots of extra base hits here. Sox had 11 in total. Verdugo had 2. Martinez had 2. Bogarts had 2. Vasquez had 3. Renfroe had 3 to go along with his home run. He had himself a nice little day. On to game 2. Game 2 was Martin Perez versus Casey Mize. The Sox lost this one 6-5 in extra innings. This one was tough. It felt like more of the same of game 1, except the Tigers were able to come all the way back. Perez struck out 6 in his 5 2/3 innings, which was nice to see. What did you think of Perez's start here?
I thought Perez kind of looked like, you know, the typical Perez. Just kind of okay. I know that the Tigers have really struggled against left-handed pitching, so I wasn't surprised to see that he, you know, struck out 6 in 5.2 innings, just because the Tigers, just from offensively, from a, you know, when they face left-handers, it's just been awful. So I expected this, but even I was expecting us to pull it out. What about you?
Yeah, the way it happened just kind of sucked, and I felt good about having Whitlock in there. And then obviously, I mean, he gave up a bit of a moonshot down there to the right field corner. But yeah, I felt the same way. I felt like even though they had struggled and it was a gross game to watch, it felt like they were going to end up toughing it out And then that ended up not being the case. So that was just kind of a real bummer how that went down, especially since who followed Perez. Taylor went a third of an inning, got an out. That was fine. Sarmura went an inning with a strikeout. Ottavino, two strikeouts in one inning. Barnes struck out the side. It was such a strong performance. And then they brought in Whitlock, and you felt like that was going to keep going. And then he walked a guy and gave up a bomb. So that was tough. But Red Sox hitters were a bit stifled against Mize, who is a bright young pitcher. He didn't have a great day, though. He only allowed three hits, which was nice in his six innings. But only walked four and only struck out three. The Red Sox just weren't able to take advantage of it. In total, they stranded 26 batters, which hurts even more when all you needed was one. Bogaerts, only one that had multiple hits. Bogaerts is just very good, leading the major leagues in hits.
Bogey is just basically MVP king. That's all I
want to say. Yeah, fair. game three today. My God, this game. This was one of the weirder games the Red Sox have played in quite some time. Nathan Eovaldi, Spencer Turnbull. It was quite a roller coaster. Eovaldi looked really, really good to start and then really, really bad to finish. Five strikeouts, one walk, six earned runs. That was pretty darn tough. What was your reaction to Eovaldi's start here?
It literally was a roller coaster. Like, I was watching this while I was at work. I was in the office. I had my iPad to the side. And, like, the first couple innings, I'm like, oh, yeah, we got, you know, stud Eovaldi. And, like, his last, one and a half, two innings was just absolutely horrible. Like, he was still battling. He still had the velocity and everything. It's just like his pitches, he just wasn't fooling anyone. And it was just hit after hit, dink, dunk, like all of these hits. And yeah, it was just, honestly, I don't know. I need to dig like a little bit, dig in a little bit more, but I don't know why he was like really getting hit around so much. Maybe it's like some BABIP unluckiness, but yeah, it was just like, it was so weird because he still had the velocity and the movement and stuff like that, but yeah, he was just, it was so unlucky.
Yeah, I mean, it was encouraging to see him. I mean, he was continually, like you said, pumping 98 through the length of this outing. It was just difficult to watch with him just getting kind of nitpicked to death and then ended up with six runs. Not great. I was a little surprised they sent him out there for the fifth. After the fourth, though, it was really rough and he really labored to get through the end of it. At that point, it was a 4-4 game. I was really surprised that he went back out there for the fifth and not great results.
Yeah.
Then, there were six total errors in this game. Four for Detroit, two for Boston. Oddly enough, the Red Sox had more unearned runs than they had earned runs in this game. They had five earned, seven unearned for their total. Good days from Franchy Cordero. How good was it to see him get three hits and an RBI today?
It was so great. Like, this game was just, like, so weird. You know, like, Franchy was on the bench to start the game. He comes in for Enrique Hernandez, who left in the first after like a hamstring strain. But yeah, I wasn't expecting much for him, especially at the top of the lineup. But then he goes like 3-for-5, and I'm like, okay, I like to see that. And no, just I haven't really been like the biggest Franchy fan. But just kind of like see him just kind of go off with this game, I loved it. I'd love to see it.
Yeah, he was definitely due. Weird situation there. So I guess this was foreshadowing here for the entire game. But Kiki Hernandez led off with a double and pulled his hammy, advanced to third, and then in the middle of a count came out of the game and was replaced by Cordero, who then scored a run on the very next pitch after Hernandez got pulled. And then the game just got weirder. Multi-hit games from Cordero, Verdugo, JD Martinez, Bogarts, Devers, and Plawecki. Lots of hits, lots of runs. Darwinson, Hernandez pitched an inning, one strikeout, gave up a run, charged with a blown save. Andrés came in, gave up a run in one inning. And Ottavino for the save, his first save of the season. A nice, cool inning there, one walk. He's had a couple nice outings in a row here. Let's see if we can keep that moving. On the whole, though, the Red Sox took 2 out of 3, but it was not very easy. The prior 16 prior games to the series for Detroit, they had scored 20 runs, and in just these three games, they scored 21. That's tough.
Wow.
Or 22. 21 or 22. Anyway, in these three games, they outscored their previous six, which was not great. Is this just a weird stretch of games here over the past week, these last seven games, or are you seeing some trends here that you're maybe thinking twice about?
I really hope that it is just kind of like a trend where, sometimes, relievers just kind of get hit around a bit. But knowing that we went, back to back with the Rangers and then now the Tigers, and seeing that our bullpen and kind of our starting pitching has been kind of hit around a bit, I'm a little bit concerned. I need to maybe see a little bit more to see, if I really need to be concerned. But it's like, yeah, this wasn't great. Like, these were basically, two cupcake matches, matchups, right? And we totally, poo-pooed the bed here. Yeah,
I think I mentioned if they continue to struggle, I might start reaching for the panic button. I'm kind of feeling that way. I mean, they did win the series, but it was not easy, and it was really ugly, and it took 4 errors and 7 earned runs to do it. It's not ideal. That's not going to be an everyday occurrence. So them being 3-4 against, with back-to-back series against last-place teams and another one here with the Orioles, I think I need, it's a 4-game series, but a sweep would make me feel a lot better about this team. But we will 100%. Get into that. Yeah, we will get into that right now after a quick break.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
Alrighty. Last place Orioles coming to town to complete this last place circuit for the Red Sox. 4-game series, and remarkably enough, if the Orioles sweep the Red Sox, they would go from last place in the division to a better record than the Red Sox. They're only 3.5 back in the cellar. I was going to say to the best record in the majors, because the Red Sox currently have the best record in the majors, but can't assume everybody else is going to lose too. So the fact that they're within striking distance in this series of the Red Sox is what has me concerned.
How dare you put that bad juju on this team? Shame on you.
I know. I think I might have ruined it. we'll see if I'm doing this podcast in 4 days. Pitching matchups in this series, the Red Sox, luckily for them, avoid Mr. Means, who just threw a no-hitter against Seattle. We've got Eduardo Rodriguez versus Matt Harvey, Richards versus Akin, Pivetta versus Kramer, and Martin Perez versus Lopez. I mean, I feel like we've been feeling the same way about pitching matchups there, but I mean, at least it feels good to have our two best right now going in this series if we're looking for wins. What's your overall take of these pitching matchups for the series?
I feel totally fine. Outside of Means, I'm not scared of Baltimore's pitching whatsoever. And knowing that we have Rodriguez, Richards, Pivetta, Perez, like that's a really good core, and I really do think that they can definitely tackle Baltimore's lineup. Yeah, sure. We're going to lose at least one. I don't think that we're going to go, you know, 4-for-4, but I feel totally confident with all of these pitchers against Baltimore.
And we have already had a bunch of games against Baltimore, so we've talked about their lineup a lot, but Cedric Mullins is still doing really darn good. Second on the team in home runs, has a .320 average, .378 OBP. Trey Mancini is leading the team in home runs with 6. He's a very good baseball player. Outside of those two guys, though, is there anybody that you're a little bit worried about in this lineup?
Not really. I still believe in, like, Ryan Mountcastle and DJ Stewart, but they have really, really, really been struggling at the plate. I could totally see them coming back around to maybe hurt us. But no, I'm not scared, honestly, of really anyone in Baltimore outside those other two.
Same. So hopefully we're in for something nice. I forgot again, but who is your MVP for the series against Detroit?
I guess my MVP, can I just say Bogey? Like, I'm just going to just say just Bogey. Like, he was just, like, really good.
Yeah, I agree. It was either going to be Bogey or JD, maybe both. Those two, I mean, they had a really good series, produced a lot in the series. There was a lot of runs scored.
Yeah. Yeah, JD is just, like, blowing my mind how good he is and just how he has just put, like, 2020 behind him and he's, like, 2019 version. Love it.
It's like first in everything except hits, which is Bogarts. So it's a fun lineup we have here. Who is your prediction for MVP in this Orioles series?
I'm going to go like off the rails here. And I think that you will like this. I think it's going to be Garrett Richards. I think he's going to just...
like, that's who I was going to pick.
Yeah. Oh, great. Yeah, like Richards has looked really good his last two starts. And I'm like, yeah, he's going to give us the Orioles. This, I think, is going to just be a really good start for him.
Agreed. Third start so far for him against the Orioles. And the second one was better than the first. And I think the third one's going to be better than the second. So Richards is my pick as well. That will do it for this episode. You can find me and Shelly both at Over the Monster, where we write roundtables and stuff. You can find me on Twitter at Spoken Keats. You can find Shelly at ShellyV_643. And we will be with you on Tuesday morning to preview a 3-game series against the Athletics. Thanks for listening.